You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Knicks back in action. Everybody back in action after the All-Star break. And as LeBron James said, boy, it's on now. Now's when everybody starts taking the season seriously. Okay. Wish I would have known that before I wagered all the money I have so far this season on the NBA, but regardless, Knicks back in action later on today. Again, you'll be able to listen to that show right here, the pregame show, and of course the game right here on 98.7 ESPN. Ty is producing the show back in New York City. I always like to give a shout out to our producers because they work really hard here at 98.7 ESPN. I'm coming to you live from my home studio. Took a 6-mile walk this morning, Ty.
What's up? What's up? Talk to me nice. 6-mile walk. How about that?
Six mile walk. Yeah, it's so funny. Here's the thing. At what point in time do you walk? Like, at what point in time does walking, are you like, man, what's wrong? Like, why aren't I running? Why aren't I jogging?
Yeah,
why
is it a walking? Is this so boring? Like,
what?
Like, if you're walking somewhere. Like,
Well, no. I walked with a friend, so, you know, great conversation.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't boring.
That's different.
But it's easier to walk and talk.
Yes.
As opposed to, I don't know about you. I know a lot of people can. I can't. I ran the New York Marathon a few years, and in order to run the New York Marathon, you've got to train a lot. And when I train, you got to run like 8, 10, 12, 13. At least once you've got to run 20 miles to make sure your body can make 26 and a half. But I can't talk when I run.
I can't talk when I jog.
But I can talk when I walk.
You've got to train for the marathon? I thought you could just wake up one day and just do it. I didn't know.
Yeah. Good. Well, okay, full disclosure, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I never did the 20 mile. You're supposed to. So when you're training for a marathon, you're supposed to at least run one trial run at 20 miles because something abnormal happens with your body at the 20 mile marker and you need to know what you're in store for. I never did it. The most I ran during my training for the New York Marathon was I want either 15 or 17 miles, one or the other. I never made it to 20. And oh boy, was that a rude awakening because, you know, the last 6.2, the last 6.2, just absolutely brutal. Absolutely. And I ran, there was a bunch of us, there was a whole group of us. There was and this was the year after, God bless those unfortunately who lost their lives in the Boston bombing. This was the year after the Boston bombing. And so I ran for the Garden of Dreams was the foundation that I ran for. I want to say I raised like $10,000 for them. And
nice.
Tina Servasio, who's one of my best friends on the planet, she's a super human being. She got me involved in it. And I want to say Tina has run the marathon like 10 times. And then there was a whole group of us, Michelle Beadle, me, Amy Freeze, meteorologist from ABC, Stephanie Abrams from the Weather Channel, Sam Ryan from CBS. There was like a whole group of us, a bunch of sports gals and a bunch of meteorologist women. And we ran it together. There was like a whole group of us, like 20 of us that ran it together. And of course, I finished in the worst time. At one point in time, Michelle Beadle turned to me and said, I'm leaving your butt. I mean, you know, she used different choice of words. But again, this is a family show. So I crossed the finish line alone and long after everybody else finished because I didn't train properly. But nonetheless, how did we get here?
So you were dead weight, basically. You're holding everyone up.
I was holding everybody up.
They say that you are only as strong as your weakest link.
And I was the weakest. And listen, I will admit it. I was the weakest link. I will admit it.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
I am. Goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen. In fashion, you're either in or you're out. Auf Wiedersehen. Bye-bye. That was me.
That was me.
In fashion, you're either in or you're out. That was me. I'm out. So anyway, I will say this. I will conclude. I don't know how we got on the story, but maybe it's because of my 6-mile walk today. But I will say this. Best experience. It was a bucket list. I must have cried, but you know me. I'm an emotional. I'm an emotional thing. I cried at least 7 times on the run, and it wasn't because I was in pain or my toenails were floating in blood at the end. It wasn't about that. It was just about the emotional experience of running through the boroughs, all the boroughs of New York City, and seeing the beautiful faces and the people that were out there that were yelling Boston Strong, and to be a part of something so magnificent and so special, and to be able to raise $10 million for the Garden of Dreams while I'm doing it all was pretty spectacular. So I will say that it was definitely a bucket list and was all that. Not sure if I'd ever do it again. But I'm blessed and I feel grateful that, again, my good friend Tina Servasio provided the opportunity for me to do it. All right. 800-919-3776 is the phone number. Like I said, unfortunately, we've got an abbreviated show today because the Knicks are coming your way. Tip-off is at 2 o'clock. Pre-game starts here at 1:30, like I said. We're going to hear from Joe Wiz at the top of the hour at 1 o'clock. He's going to have some picks and some plays for us in this Knicks game. Also, the Nets are playing later on this evening. Ty, would you happen to have any plays for us this evening as well that you're going to share with us in the 1 o'clock hour?
I'm not putting
pressure on you. No pressure.
By the way, I mean, it's a big number, 11. The Nets are giving the Pistons 11 points. I lost some money last night thanks to the Denver Nuggets, who were up 11 in the fourth quarter and only won by one. I believe the spread was 3.5. So I'm not happy with Jamal Murray and company today.
Well, believe it or not, I don't like large spreads, and neither does Joe Wiz, again, who hosts his gambling show right here at 98.7 ESPN. And again, he's going to join us at the top of the hour at 1 o'clock. But I did lay the 18.5.
Oh my God, the Jazz!
I did,
and the Rockets.
I did.
Rockets have lost 15 straight games.
Mm-hmm. So they sure did.
They covered though. They covered.
I know. I know what happened. I know. And here's the thing. And this is rule of thumb for me. Like, I don't like to wager on the NBA until a week after the All-Star break. I didn't follow my own, you know, my own rule law.
Yeah. But if you took the Lakers last night, they won. They covered. Spread was 4.5. They won by 5.
Yeah, I know.
Two free throws. I mean, if you bet on that game and you watch KCP hit two free throws to get you to that 5, you are beside yourself.
How did Sabonis do? I played double double for Sabonis. Did he have a double double? I haven't looked at the.
Well, Malcolm Brogdon was great. Sabonis, he did give you a nice double double, a big 20, 14, and 8. How about that?
There we go. So I won double double with Sabonis. So I probably broke even. Anyhow. All right. So this is our show. When we get back, a lot of NFL news, and you know me, I'm an NFL chick. So a lot of NFL news this week that I want to dive into. That's first and foremost, especially with the quarterbacks, right? Like Tom Brady extension with the Tampa Bay Bucks, Cam Newton signs with the Patriots. Also, I host a NFL draft show every Friday night on my social media platform. You can Twitter at Anita Marks. You can follow me Friday nights at 7 o'clock with Steve Verderosa, former scout for the Giants. He's just fantastic. Blessed to be working with him. He's really the star of the show. And so this was our fourth show. So we did a deep dive into tight ends. And so Kyle Pitts is the only tight end expected to go in the first round. So we spent a lot of time talking about him. And Steve was kind enough to book Kyle's tight end coach from the University of Florida, Coach Tim Brewster. So he was on with us. So PFN, the site that produces my show, was kind enough to give me the clip with the segment with Coach Brewster, and I want to share it with you. And Jets fans need to listen to this, okay? And we'll play it. I think we should play it, Ty, like around 12:30. I want to come back. I want to talk some NFL coming up in our next segment. We'll open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. Appointment radio for Jets fans at 12:30. Because how you hear, and listen, I understand you're going to say, Anita, he's his coach. Okay. All right. But I still think it's worthy of a listen in regard to just how otherworldly Kyle Pitts is. And I think we need to begin the conversation of should the Jets take Kyle Pitts at 2. Call me crazy. I've already said I think Mac Jones is the second best quarterback in this draft. I know people came at me on Twitter telling me I'm nuts. That's fine. I'm a duck. Water off my back. But these are my opinions. And this is what I think. And based on the conversations I've had with a lot of scouts, based on the conversations I've had with two general managers and a few offensive coordinators in the NFL, along with the interview that I had last night with Coach Brewster, tight end coach for the University of Florida, I think it's worthy of a conversation to really discuss, should the Jets take Kyle Pitts at 2? So that is appointment radio at 12:30. Okay. Dallin Cuff joined me on our gambling show. If you don't know, now you know. Week in Wager airs right here on 98.7 ESPN every Friday night at 10 o'clock, 10 to midnight, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. And Dallin is our ESPN's college basketball analyst extraordinaire. And I asked him heading into, of course, Sunday is going to be Selection Sunday. We're all going to go, you know, crazy the next few days after that, trying to fill out our bracket and whatnot. And so I asked Dallin, you know, who does he think is going to win this whole thing? Obviously, Gonzaga is favored since they're undefeated.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
Just to bring you up to speed, well, first, before we do that, just want to remind Jets fans, either for your chance to win an authentic Jets helmet signed by new head coach Robert Saleh, to enter, visit nyjets.com from now until Monday, March 15th at 11:59 p.m. Boy, we've got a time limit there. No purchase necessary and open to legal residents of the U.S. 18 years or older at the time of entry. So again, visit nyjets.com for an authentic Jets helmet signed by new head coach Robert Saleh. You need to get that in by Monday, March 15th, no later than 11:59 p.m. Hashtag run, don't walk. Okay, so what is he talking about? He's talking about Cam Newton agrees to a new deal with New England, 1 year, $14 million. One thing, as I said, I host this NFL draft show with Steve Verderosa, and he uses this phrase that I love, and it's don't draft hungry. What does that mean? Teams don't want to go into a draft needing players. Oh, man, we need this. We need that. We need an offensive lineman. We need a running back. We need a wide receiver. You don't want to go into a draft needing, because what do you want to do when you draft? Most teams try to aspire to draft best player on the board, regardless of the position. You know, you can have a ton of depth on your defensive line, but if the best player on the board is some, like, you know, ridiculous defensive end who pins his ear back, you know, and gets after quarterbacks and is going, you know, it's going to bolster, it's going to give you a lot of depth. Your defensive coordinator then could get really creative in regard to how they use, you know, their defensive linemen and the depth of their defensive line core. You know what I mean? So you know, I think, and reports out of New England were that the Patriots, their plan A, let's just go plan A, was to get, I'm sorry, my mouse isn't working. So their plan A was to get Jimmy Garoppolo. And I don't know if New England is, not New England, but I don't know if the 49ers are dragging their feet. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. But regardless, they needed to do something as we get closer to the draft. And I also like what Keyshawn said. I do believe the Patriots draft a quarterback. And I think they're going to go after Mac Jones. Because I'm telling you, he's the second best quarterback in this draft. But I have no, probably Zach Wilson will go before him. Probably Justin Fields, just like Justin Herbert, right? Justin Herbert, you could argue Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, two of the best quarterbacks in the draft. As we know, Joe Burrow went number one overall to Cincinnati. Miami should have taken Justin Herbert. But, you know, the sex appeal of Tua, right? The athleticism. Ability, read option ability, all those things. Boy, are they looking back and going, man, were we dumb? Did we swing and miss by not taking Justin Herbert? That's for sure. But a lot of times teams get caught up in the hype, in the sex appeal of the player. And, I think I can see this playing out where the Patriots are going to trade up, because they're going to have to trade up. Where they are right now, I don't believe that Mac Jones lasts that long. So I do believe that we're going to see the Patriots trade up and get Mac Jones and have him come in and maybe learn under Cam for a year. That's how I envision this playing out. But nonetheless, in the AFC East, I still like the Bills, and they're favored minus 159 to win that division. There's talk and speculation that the Dolphins are possibly in the market or in the avenue, in the area, to land Deshaun Watson. We'll see what happens. It just sounds, everything that I'm hearing out of Houston is they're delusional over there. I don't know what their problem is. Dudes come out and said, I will never put on another Texans jersey. Like, I don't know how they think they're going to mend that fence. I just don't see it, personally. But the two landing places that I'm hearing for Deshaun Watson, if in fact it was to happen, would be the Dolphins and the Bears. I'm sorry, the Dolphins and the Carolina Panthers. And then, of course, you've got the Jets at 14-1. Interesting to see what the Jets are going to do. And like I said, you want to stay tuned. Coming your way at 12:30, I'm going to play a clip from my draft show. Coach Brewster, coach of Kyle Pitts, on with me last night. You got to hear what he said, because I think it's worth a conversation for us to have, that possibly the Jets stick with Sam Darnold and take Kyle Pitts at 2. But I don't want the calls to come yet. I want you to listen to Coach Brewster's conversation with me and Steve Verderosa last night before we dive into this. Other news, Tom Brady, 4-year extension with the Tampa Bay Bucs. Now, what they were paying him last year amounted to 12% of their cap. As we know, this week, cap dropped to $182.5 million. So Tom Brady renegotiates that. I don't know. I don't have a clear indication in regard to what the percentage is now. The last decade, teams that have been able to win the Super Bowl, their quarterback cap percentage has been no more than 10%. Brady was an outlier for the Bucs, but there was a lot of free agents, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that they need to make sure that they solidify to try to run this back. And Tom did what Tom does, and that's renegotiate his deal, make it a 4-year extension. Do we think he plays for 4 years? Who knows? I never underestimate this dude, right? Like, he's Benjamin Button in my book. But the Bucs are favored by -134. Carolina is at 6-1 right now. If you're confident that Carolina is going to get Deshaun Watson, that could be a nice play. Carolina lost games last year by like 3 points, 6 points, a lot of close games. There wasn't very many games that they got their butts handed to them. You add Deshaun Watson to that offense, watch out. And the Saints are +225. I know nobody believes in Taysom Hill. I'm the only one who believes in Taysom Hill. That's fine. I'm fine with it. I'm tired. I'm tired of screaming Taysom Hill from the mountaintops. It's okay. I'll be the only one who's a part of the Taysom Hill fan club. I don't have a problem with it. I love the dude. Anyway, that's how the NFC South looks right now. So I wouldn't mind putting some money on Carolina. I wouldn't mind putting some money on the Saints. I just have a hard time believing that the Bucs are going to run it back. I just think the stars aligned so properly for them last year. They were the luckiest team in the NFL last year. Just ridiculous. How do you throw 3 interceptions in the second half of a Green Bay Packers game and win? How does Drew Brees throw 3 interceptions in a game? Drew Brees, Ty. Drew Brees threw 3 interceptions. Their game, the Bucs against the Saints, Drew Brees threw 3 interceptions in that game. And Jared Cook lost a fumble. The turnover ratio, 4-0 in that game. I every game the Bucs played leading into the Super Bowl, they should have lost. Even Washington gave them a hard time with a third-string quarterback who unfortunately injured his shoulder in the fourth quarter diving at a pylon. I can't. I get my panties in a bunch. I get all heated when I talk about this. I can't. Let's move on. Seattle... there's talk and speculation that they are fielding calls and are more realistic now than ever that they might trade Russell Wilson. And brace yourself, 5 first-round draft picks, that's what's being discussed for the Bears to give up to the Seattle Seahawks in exchange for Russell Wilson. I think that's, don't get me wrong, love me some Russell Wilson. But 5 first-round draft picks? Are you kidding me? That's a lot. So the NFC West, I love the Rams at +175. I love the addition of Matthew Stafford. I think the Rams win the Super Bowl this year, to be quite frank. San Francisco's at 2-1. They still have Jimmy G. Seattle's at 3-1. I wouldn't touch them because we don't know what's happening with Russell Wilson. And Arizona's at +550. Here's where it gets interesting. If you think that this deal is going to happen and the Bears are the most aggressive team right now going after Russell Wilson, the Bears at 5-1. Won't be mad at you if you want to put some coin on that. I won't be. Green Bay -250. Understandably so. But if Chicago gets Russell Wilson and partners up with Nagy, along with that defense, watch out. Bears 5-1, not bad. And last but not least, the last news that I want to mention is the Cowboys and their deal with Dak Prescott. I don't agree with it, you know. And but let me preface by saying I hear Dak Prescott is one of the nicest human beings on the planet, and God bless him. He played his cards right, and dude got paid, and I'm thrilled for him. Just as an organization, I think they shot themselves in the foot. You know, they're in the red when it comes to cap. They're not going to have a stellar offensive line heading into this coming season. We'll see what Ezekiel Elliott can do behind a subpar offensive line. We'll see what Dak can do behind a subpar offensive line. I'll tell you what I love. I love Washington at +325. Washington's going to get a veteran quarterback, whether it's Jameis Winston, whether it's Andy Dalton, whoever it might be. They're going to get a quarterback. And with that defense, watch out. I also wouldn't mind you putting money on the Giants at 5-1. Not at all. I think the Giants and Washington are the play in that NFC East division. So anyway, I wanted to kind of take a tour around some of the news and notes that took place today, or I should say this week in the NFL, and how it plays out in regard to some of the futures bets out there pertaining to the NFL, because this is all going to change. This coming week, the next 2 weeks, as teams are going to have to shed more players. Juju Smith-Schuster is expected to be let go from the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. Teams that are in the black when it comes to free agency and are going to be aggressive and able to bring in players and sign players, like the Jets, like the Colts, like Jacksonville, like the Patriots, they're going to be in a great situation where other teams that are in the red are not going to be. So the landscape of the NFL and teams that you think are great and teams that you think are bad is going to change immensely in the next week or so.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Again, Anita Marks with you. Hour 2 here on 98.7 ESPN, taking you to 1:30, where your Knicks pregame show is coming your way. We're working on getting Joe Wiz on the show with us. He's got some picks for you in the NBA. He said he also wants to talk some college hoops. Knicks are favored 4.5. Over-unders at 208. Nets are favored by 11. And the over-under that is 226. So as soon as we get Joe Wiz on the line, we'll bring him through. In the meantime, let's go to Richard in Manhattan. Richard, you're up.
Hi, Anita. Mm-hmm. My problem with Patrick Ewing, mm-hmm. here's what it is. I always wondered, like you and probably every New Yorker, why Patrick Ewing never got a job, head coaching job in the NBA. He was a great player, was an assistant coach, seemed personable. Everything looked, you know, there would be no reason why he would not be hired. Well, I found out during his press conference after the game that Georgetown won. Instead of praising his players, instead of praising the university, instead of praising Jay Wright's team who came in missing their best player and another player who played on half a leg, instead of praising that, instead of praising the Garden for getting it ready and enabling us to have a Big East tournament at the Garden, these are all big accomplishments. Instead of doing all of that, he came on because he was hit with something that didn't go his way. Now, he's justified in what he said and all, but you never say that in front of what your focus
is. You're talking about the way that he was treated at the Garden?
The press conference after the game. That's all
I know,
but
Richard, just to confirm, are you talking about his comments about how he was treated at the Garden?
Correct. And angry and nasty about it, and not... He was right in how he thought. You don't bring that up at the press conference. Right now, you are the coach at Georgetown. You represent the school. You represent the players and their happiness. That's all you are. You're molding young men to become better people. By you ranting and saying you were not that's not important, Patrick. Now, at the end of the conference, then he could have said something like, you know, with a smile on his face, and next time I come into the garden tomorrow, I hope the security people recognize, and say it with a smile. Just make a little dig that way. People would have gotten the message.
Richard, thanks for your phone call. I appreciate it. I will dive into this before we end the show, because I did read up on this. I did hear about what happened. But first, let's go to Joe Wiz. He's got his gambling show here on 98.7 ESPN. Joe, when are your shows airing this weekend?
My show is on Friday nights at midnight and Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. We're all a little bit over 24 hours away from March Selection Sunday. And Anita, never thought we'd get to this point, but I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm excited all as well. I had Dallin Cuff on Week in Wager last night, and I'm going to play a clip from him coming up in our next segment. And he kind of gives us some insight in regard to who he thinks. I know everybody thinks Gonzaga's going to win, but there's some value maybe. I think he said Illinois could be a nice value at 9-1. But nonetheless, before we start diving into college hoops, let's talk about the two specific games that are going to be taking place that, of course, we all care about here in our own backyard. That's the Knicks. They're favored by 4.5. The over-under in this is at 208. They're on the road taking on the Thunder. What is your play in this game, Joe?
Well, Anita, when I saw this line, it kind of caught me a little bit off guard seeing the Knicks as road favorites. You don't see them as a road favorite too often. They're coming off of that tough loss, not a tough loss, but an embarrassing loss to the Milwaukee Bucks on Thursday night, 134-101. The reason why the Knicks are favored in this game, Oak City Thunder's best player, Gilgeous Alexander, is expected not to play. He scored 32 points against the Mavs on Thursday when they beat Dallas, 116-108. These two teams are struggling both offensively. Oak City is one of the worst teams offensively in the league, and the Knicks generally play totals. They generally go under. They've only gone over 14 times this year in 23 unders. The total of 208, especially with Alexander out, the leading scorer for Oak City, I would be inclined to lean to playing the under as better value in this game.
Okay, so no play on the Knicks at all.
I don't trust them, Anita. When I saw the Knicks as a road favorite, I originally was leaning towards the Knicks, but the minute I saw them as a road favorite, I just don't trust that scenario. So I'm going to lean more. I think there's better value in the total. Both teams generally play unders, and with one of their best plays out for Oak City, I think that they're going to have a problem scoring. Under 208 is the play I like in this game.
Okay. All right. That's fair. You've got the Nets taking on Detroit. They're favored by 11 at home. Over-under is at 226. What's your play here?
When you look at this game here, I mean, who's going to pick the Detroit Pistons? I mean, the Nets just keep rolling over everybody right now. You really got to have courage to go out and play the Pistons. I'm traditionally a dog player, and this is really testing my litmus, but I'm going to go ahead and take a shot. I think the Nets might just go through the motions here. The line's 11.5. They can make the line anything they want. The Nets could really beat the Pistons at anything. But the Pistons did play competitively on Thursday night back from the All-Star break. They getting four. They covered the spread, 105-102. I think the Nets go through the motions. I'm going to take Detroit. I might be the only person in the country that's on the Pistons, but there's a reason why they put these lines out there, and it's not because the bookmakers are stupid. I'm taking the Pistons plus the 11.5 and hope I get the backdoor cover.
Yeah, I mean, I said this before. I'm very apprehensive to bet anything NBA at least a week after the All-Star break. I think, you know, whether it's, you know, they partied their butts off. Who knows? Well, I feel like, I just think it takes in the NBA is a different animal when it comes to ebb and flow, and so I stay away. I personally stay away from the NBA. I did play a few prop bets last night, not many that I won, but that's on me. I didn't follow my own.
I know
rules.
You do really well with your prop bets. I'm starting to listen to them because I'll be honest with you, I don't do the prop bets. It's too much work. I have to sit there for hours and hours.
It is.
So I just tune in when you're on and I steal some of your picks.
That's really nice, Joe. I appreciate it. But you're right. It is a lot of work when I'm on daily. But here's the thing. I'm on Daily Wager. I'm doing the prep anyway. I'm doing the prep for the show. So, you know, I mean, heck, I'm doing the prep. I might as well try to reap the benefits, right? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's a lot of work, and I give you a lot of credit, and people don't realize how much time and energy is put into it. And even that, when you do that, you still got to have a feel for the game, and no matter how much time people say, oh, I'm going to look and do the research, no matter, just look at, you know, not to change the subject, but look at the Super Bowl. Everybody sat there and talked about how Mahomes, and look what happened. And it happens in any sport that you can sit there and do all the study you want, but you still have to have a feel for the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation within itself. Like, I think we were all bamboozled, with his toe injury, the fact that it wasn't revealed until just hours before the game that he was going to need surgery, and B, just how horrific that offensive line was going to be. But neither here nor there. Before we let you go, let's talk some college hoops, you know, conference championships on the line today and tomorrow. And of course, as you said, Selection Sunday, heading into March Madness, which is really going to be a treat considering we didn't have it last season. What's your favorite college play today?
This is one of these obscure teams that nobody knows about. Anita, last week, if you remember, I was on the air. I did give out Michigan State on the money line. They were getting 9, and they upset Michigan. I'm not going to be this bold, but there's a game tonight that nobody might know about. I've been giving it out on my radio show because I had Aaron this morning at 8 a.m. I'm giving out Grand Canyon. People are like, who is Grand Canyon? People don't even know where they exist. And these are the things that I tell people that you have to know about the NCAA tournament. Even earlier today, we had a team like Hartford. Hartford was playing University of Mass Lowell. Hartford won the game. I gave that out on radio show. So Grand Canyon is getting 2 points. They're playing New Mexico State, and I'm taking the Anteaters of Grand Canyon. That they're getting 2 points. They've already beaten them twice. I know it's tough to beat them 3 times, but the Antelopes, that's correct, the Antelopes of Grand Canyon, these are the type of games that nobody knows about. Hartford, mm-hmm. earlier today, nobody knew nothing about the Hawks. And these are the type of games, even tomorrow you have a game in the Patriot League that's taking place with Loyola Maryland and Colgate, and that's what I like
Colgate.
About March Madness.
I like Colgate. Don't doubt the Bear.
Well, Colgate is a 10-point favorite, so I'm going to have a tough time pulling the trigger on them. I might look at the total in that game, but the Raiders, they'll be playing up in Hamilton, New York. I had to look up where Hamilton was. I mean, where's Hamilton, New York? I never heard of it before. But that's what I like about March Madness. There's so many of these obscure teams that nobody knows about that are going to get bids. Hartford gets its first bid ever in the American East Conference earlier today. They just went final. Grand Canyon, the team that's playing like that today. I like Grand Canyon getting 2 against New Mexico State. Nobody knows anything about these teams, and I'm getting 2. I think there's good value there in that game. And, of course, I like San Diego State. They're a small favorite. I don't play many favorites, but San Diego State's playing Utah State. It's a big revenge game for San Diego State. Utah State beat them twice early in the season, and the Aztecs are a very good team. I think they'll avenge the loss from the 2 losses earlier. I look for San Diego State to take the lead against Utah State and to never look back.
All right, Joe, bottle of wine. I get Colgate. I'll give you Loyola plus 7.
Well, the line's 10, so I got to get the fair line, Anita.
No,
I mean, you know,
no.
I'll take
I'm
the
giving
double
you,
digits.
I'm giving you. How about this? I'll give you Loyola plus 9.
There you go. I'll take the Greyhounds plus 9 and hope for the backdoor cover. The deal is on. We'll do it for a bottle of wine.
You got it, Joe. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.